Jan Menko Grimmer, hello, welcome.
Hello, Virginie.
It's a pleasure to have you. Jan Menko, EY Germany, Austria, Switzerland, you're a leading person. You are also part of this absolutely huge embankment project within EY. And you have sponsored our first public value lab. So I'm extremely grateful to you personally and to EY Germany for that. Before we start and we look into what the embankment project is, can I ask you what public value means to you?
Well, this is a good question. Public value is a lot in the discussion today, because we are all recognize that we have a lot of trouble with the disconnect between companies and society. And especially if you remember the results of the last European election, it was a very good insight what's going on in our society in connection with business. And public value for me means that companies and other groups or stakeholders make their benefit for the society transparent. And if they are not able to do it, the disconnect between the society and companies or politicians will go on. And this will be a development for us all, which is very dangerous in my eyes.
So this disconnect between society, business, and governments, this is what others would call trust.
Yeah, you're quite right. The disconnect is a result of declining trust from the society to the different stakeholder groups. And this happens during the last 5 up to 10 years dramatically fast. And we have to find ways or new approaches or new transparency to have trust back again.
Why is that so important?
Our system is based on trust. If you think about the structure of markets, of financial markets, of the complete society, all these transactions only take place if trust between the participants of transaction is there. And if you lose trust, you will have a world which is untrustful and is full of risks and bad developments.
If you allow me to stay a bit more on the trust concept, it used to be that trust was enough within a certain silo. Yes, you talked about financial transactions. As long as financial experts trust others, that was enough. But you seem to mention that there is a need between society and the financial executives, between the customer and beyond customers, citizens and governments and business. Do you think this concept of trust has evolved in the past few years?
Yeah, it's damaged due to different reasons. I think one reason is the world has changed dramatically. We make a lot of steps forward in a more global world. That means the influence on society and businesses is now surely global and not a regional or national focus of the society and the companies anymore. And that means we have influences from other countries which are not managed by a region or by a company by themselves. So that means transparency is one of the most important tool to ensure trust from my perspective. And that means if companies are not able to report trustful on what they're doing in terms of business, considering environmental impact, things like that, then the society has no trust to the companies. And this is a risk for the company overall. They lose the employees, they lose the consumer and the customer. And at the end, they lose the society. That means they will have trouble with regulatories, with the government, because at the end, society will ask for sanctions to companies which are, in the eyes of the society, are not acting adequate.
Yeah, it's what EY says in other terms, a license to operate. Yes, you are not even agreeable if you don't have this trust and if you're not rooted in society.
Yeah, you're completely right. And if you remember in the past, the story was the same, but the speed and the transparency was different due to the fact that companies and societies were not globally organized. It was more or less a national or regional connection between society and companies. And then it's more easy to be transparent because you're much closer together as in a global world. Then you need new tools to be transparent, to explain what you're doing, because you're not only explain this to your employees or your local society, you have to explain this to the whole world, because the whole world is directly or indirectly connected to you. And that means beside technical developments and other things which push the volatility in markets and things like that, this is a reason why the corporates have to report more insightful, not only report on short-term financial KPIs or whatever, they have to report broader to explain why they're acting in the way they're acting in terms of environmental behavior, social behavior, and surely the behavior they have in connection with their customer, with their employees, what they're doing for sustainable management of the business. That means that stakeholders, not only the shareholders, can be trustful with this company, that this company will be a good contribution for the society in the long term and not in the short term, not like a hedge fund to optimize short-term cash flows, and that's it.
Interesting. There are several key words you just pronounced: long term, and also, you know, the key performance indicators, the KPIs. What you're talking about is a different understanding of what accountability is.
This is really a quite challenging question. Accountability today is very difficult to manage, because the participants of our society are globally acting, and their accountability are regulated by different countries, by different regulators. And that means if you have a manager or a company who is really trustful and ethical, correct or whatever, then they will have on the short term perhaps troubles with profit, because they have to do things which are not from a short term perspective good for the profit at all. And if they cannot explain this, why they're doing activities which are not useful for the short term in terms of shareholder perspective, then we will be kicked out from the market because the competitors will be better. And accountable management will do this and try to explain very transparent way they're doing on a short term perspective activities which are not helpful but for the long term helpful. And this kind of accountability is the way we could handle trust in the future, and we could eliminate all the difficulties and risks we have in the system today.
Yes. Can we agree that we would call it long-term accountability?
Sure. That's I think it's a good wording for what we are looking for, because if you're talking about long-term behavior, long-term reporting, whatever, at the end, it's only existent if you have a long-term accountability, that's for sure. Because otherwise, you prepare some long-term reports, which is nice for marketing purposes or whatever. But the content and the essence is surely accountability and at the end, the behavior what's behind.
Right. Long-term accountability would also mean, if I understand you properly, that you're accountable not only to your shareholders and the usual traditional stakeholders, customers, but to the entire society. and also to the environment.
Yeah, sure. But I think all the stakeholders are sitting in the same boat. That means the difference between shareholders and other stakeholder groups is only the timing of the benefits from my perspective. That means if a company is acting in a good way with environmental impact or things like that, it's good for the society, and at the end it's good for the shareholder, because if they are not doing this, we are pretty sure that in the mid or in the long term this company will decline in business because they have higher expenses or no consumer anymore or whatever. And that means if we all understand that long-term behavior is good for the shareholders as well, and that we all have the same needs or the same requirements for companies, then there is no conflict anymore between the stakeholder groups. And this is only possible if we have the situation that it's that we all have the insight in companies' behavior, considering the long-term activities. And today we have the disconnect. That means all decisions from investors and within the company from the management are mostly linked to short-term information and data. And then it's not a surprise that we act short-term. We have no information available for the right assessment of activities in terms of long-term behavior. And this is one of the most critical topic we have to manage.
Yanmen Ko, if we consider various data, including the UN Global Compact, and maybe EY has its own data, I'm sure you have, it's considered that less than 10% of the big corporations do think in these terms, just as you just mentioned. Do you corroborate this percentage? Is it something that you agree with?
It's difficult to estimate, because we are in a transformation phase from my perspective, because the discussion around all these topics increased during the last 2 years dramatically. And more companies recognize that it's very critical for them to consider at minimum environmental impact and social impact. That's for sure. And I'm not clear if it's now 10% or 15%. I don't know. But your statement is completely right. It's less than 50%. That's for sure. It's getting more and more important for companies. True. But the most critical discussion today is how we can handle this. And as you mentioned, we all have data, but in a different structure, different detailed level or whatever. The most critical finding on this is we have to standardize the reporting approaches, because otherwise the stakeholders have perhaps a little bit insight in the specific company, but that is not sensible for decisions. You have to be in the position to compare companies. And that means you have a standardized set of information, as we have today in the financial reporting. It's standardized. We all know what revenues are, what earning before taxes is, whatever. And we can compare competitors or different segments or whatever. This is, it's necessary if we want to have insight in companies and industries. And we all have to find very quickly a way to standardize this data. It's less important what is the right price for one ton of emission or whatever. It's more or less if all companies reporting tons of emission using the same price, this is more sensible as to have each company with a different price, because you are not able to compare this. It's senseless information. And this is one critical point we have to work on, especially if you're talking about public value and information from companies, what is the contribution to the society overall.
Absolutely. That means work with corporations among them, but also with the regulators?
Yes, this is a good point always in the discussion. Presently, we have a huge amount of initiatives, partly private organized and partly in specific industry segments, whatever. And the regulators starting activities as well on the European Union level, on OECD level, whatever, different organizations. What we all have to try to do is working closely together to find the right standard. I have a little bit of fear if everyone is now initiating a new initiative, then we will have 100 wonderful ideas, but that's not helpful. We need one idea where all be linked to. And yeah, I think the discussions during the last 2 years about long-term value, because it's a little bit more broader as only focusing on ESG stuff, I think it's a good starting point for the integration of different initiatives as well, because we all initiatives thinking now about the critical topic, find standards and harmonization of the different regulatories which are in place. So, and if you visit the events from today, well, this is a topic. It's a lot about standardization and integration. And this is, from my point of view, next to others, a very critical topic in this discussion.
Absolutely. Jan Menko, tell us about the embankment project that EY has started.
Yeah, sure. Oh, this is my most favorite topic to talk about, embankment. I'm really deeply impressed what's happened during the last 18 months, starting in the middle of 2017. This project was initiated from the Coalition for Inclusive Capitalism, the NGO led by Lady Linda Rothschild in US, and our CEO Mark Weinberger promised her to support with the whole EY organization this project. And we did. We spent a lot of resources in, but we are happy that we did it, because the outcome and the discussion which started from this project are really impressing and helpful to speed up all this discussion we have around. In this project, more than 30 global companies from the whole investment chain, as the creators, as the managers, as the owners, work closely together to create a framework how long-term value reporting could look like, and approach and a model behind which structures the discussion, I would say. And this is really helpful. And all these more than 30 companies now are fully committed to the outcome. The project prepared more than 63 metrics for measuring the long-term value driver, like human capital, surely the ESG, consumer value, financial value beside two, and integrate all this stuff with measuring innovation performance and things like that, what's completely not included in our today's company reporting. And the outcome is an embankment, there's a report about the embankment project with all the results. And I'm now working with this since 8 months, since I published this in November last year in Washington. And I had a lot of discussion with corporates, sure, but with regulators and other stakeholders as well, with the European Union, with EFRAG, with ACCA, with OECD, and a lot of other important stakeholder groups. And you can recognize that it's helpful to have a better structure in the discussion. And then we will make more progress to focus on the topics we already discussed, like standardization, find the right template or the right metric to measure specific long-term value drivers, like public value, that's for sure. And I'm really full with hope that we speed up further, because in Germany the next initiative initiated by BASF is in a startup phase. I'm not sure if you heard about it, is a value balancing alliance. And this is similar, more than 8 or 9 companies will prepare now technical solutions to implement this framework in company reporting systems.
Yes, so you have, and it's consistent with what you said earlier. There is, and there has been a lot of debates inside corporations, 30 global corporations. It's actually quite heavy in the world.
Yeah, sure.
And now you discuss it with regulators, and some companies take it forward to see how it's going to be implemented. That's a positive outcome. I want to say, by the way, that we're going to link to the report on this page. So have a look below. And what actually needs to be done forward to continue to have this beginning of a new KPI, in a way, implemented? What do you think should be the next step?
Sure, this is a huge challenge, that's for sure. Because, as you know, if companies change reporting system, it's a huge project. You have to install new systems, you have collect data, whatever, and you have, and this is the most critical point, sometimes change the mindset of the acting people at the company, because they're used to focus within investment decision only on cash flow items, whatever. And now you have to implement the broader view on the outcome of an investment, considering environmental impact or human capital impact, things like that. There's a lot of work to do, but the discussion is more or less a preparation phase for the project for the companies. And this discussion is going on more and more frequent in a lot of companies, and especially the C-suite of the big companies are all thinking about, because, and this is the driver for the discussion, the asset managers, the private equity companies, the analysts are asking more and more the portfolio companies how they're managing all these challenges, considering environmental, human capital, innovation, whatever. And management now is in the position to have really difficulties to answer these questions. And that means the benefit for management is clear if they implement long-term value reporting. And from my perspective, this is an approach that is very impactful, because the market will ask for implementing insightful reporting in terms of long-term value reporting. And from my experience in the past, the market is more powerful than the regulator, especially in a global world. Who is the regulator in our business world, in our society world, who can make rules where all participants have to look for? Globally, it's difficult. Yeah.
Right. We go back to what we discussed at the beginning of this conversation. We absolutely need to have a global corporation trusting the market. And it is this trust that is going to help global corporations implement a new set of standards for the common good, if you will, rather than regulation. The problem citizens are having with the OECD is that if we take the anti-bribery convention, for example, it is almost never implemented. It is fully implemented only in 4 countries. And yes, so that is a problem. The regulators can help, but also to a certain extent. Yeah.
Especially in the emerging countries, they're much slower implementing rules like this. But I can really understand that, because in the Western countries or US or whatever, we are living in this system and we are living in this world since as we are born or whatever. And the emerging countries are joined this kind of global economic systems during the past 10 or 20 years, depends on. And this means perhaps we have to be a little bit more patient with the education of these countries. And sure, and there the regulators come in place. They can push the process from a governmental side, I'm pretty sure. But the market will do a lot of pressure on these countries as well, because if the companies in these countries will be successful, they have to act globally. And if you act globally, you have to consider the rules where the global market has defined.
And by market, we hear citizens, consumers, and even
exactly.
who demonstrate on Fridays.
You're right. This is the market. It's not only the market between investors and companies. This was our focus in the past, but now we all learned that the other stakeholders, especially the society, which have a need for considering environmental impact as well and other topics, are more important sometimes for companies as a consumer today.
Jan Menko, we talked a lot about consumers, about market people. That is actually fascinating. But EY used to work a lot on competition and talent. What type of talent is needed today in today's society?
Oh, good question. If I can give the final answer on this, I think I will not work in my function anymore, because this is the key for resolving a lot of problems we already have. But I would say we need people who are open-minded in a global way. That means able to, they have to be open for new technology, new development in the global structure, new ideas of culture and ethic. The world is changing so fast that you need people who are more agile than in the past. And in the past, it was very important that you have a huge knowledge, you are an expert or whatever. This is more or less on a detail level less important, because artificial intelligence and other techniques will help us extensively to manage knowledge. But the behavior to work with all these new developments, that means be agile and open-minded, this is more critical and important for the specific person and for society overall. And I think we have to, in the same manner we are talking about what companies can do and reporting and the market and government and regulators, we have to invest in education and learning more than in the past, because this knowledge is not knowledge as in the past to know detailed things, but to learn, act agile, to design successful processes or whatever. This is a very big challenge for education, and we have to, from my perspective, spend more in this activity from a governmental perspective, from a company perspective, from a society perspective.
So what we're saying is that being agile, being open-minded are two key values of the new world. Yes, it's a value-based world, and yeah. The successful corporations are going to be the one driven by their own values.
Yeah, and specific rules will changing first due to the changed environment, but the values not. It's like the purpose for a company and not the strategy. The strategy is directly linked to purpose and context. And if the context is changing, the strategy will change. And it's similar with rules and values and ethic. Mm-hmm. And I believe really a strong society will be a society where values and ethics are clear and all the rules are dependent on the values, but directly impacted by the environmental changes we will have very fast in the future as well.
Fascinating. Jan Menko, I want to thank you. This is really interesting to hear how the world is changing from your perspective and the way you help companies become purpose-driven and value-driven. It's very interesting conversation. Thank you so much for your time and your openness with us today.
Thank you for your invitation. It was really a pleasure to speak with you and have the opportunity to speak about embankments. It's my most favorite topic. Thanks.
Thank you, Jan. Goodbye.
Goodbye.